Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Sanhedrin Ayin Beis, Sanhedrin 72a, pagination is 143. We'll start on the facing page, Masnisin, six lines up from the bottom. Ben Sorer Umora, this rebellious or wayward son that we've discussed that could reach a capital punishment, Nidon Al Shem Sofo, is being judged on what is going to happen at the end, meaning what direction he's going and the offenses that we're anticipating. And this is quite unusual. We have a principle by Yishmael, Ba'asher Husham, based on his current worthiness, and we don't take into account the future, usually. This is a very unusual thing, and perhaps, as we've said in a previous session, it's lidrosh ulekabel schar, as the Marsha understands it, to learn it and to be able to achieve a greater awareness in education that what's going on now will impact the future and to take action in a better way. But in any case, the law on the books, as it's described, is that indeed, because of his current direction, he's receiving capital punishment, not because what he did so far is so terrible, the wine and the meat and the stealing, but because where it's going. Yomos Zakai, let him die righteous. As yet, he stole from his parents. He didn't highway robber yet. Va'al Yomos Chayiv, and not to let this continue where he will end up being killed as a guilty person, and his world to come would be affected. Death to wicked people is good for them because it arrests their behavior, and it's good for the world. World shouldn't be hurt by them. La tzadikim, but when a tzadik dies, ra lohen v'ra lo olam, it's bad for them, because it stops them from doing more mitzvahs, and it's bad for the world as well, because they're impacted in a good way with the tzaddik's presence. Yayin v'shina, wine and sleep. L'rishayim, hana lohen v'hana li'olam, to wicked people, oh, that's good. Good for them, good for the world. They don't do too much. For la tzaddikim, but if a tzaddik would sleep extra or drink wine more than appropriate, ra lohem v'ra lo olam, bad for them, bad for the world. Pizur lo rishaim, a disconnect, a spreading out by rishaim, where they can't gather and plot, hana lohem v'hana li olam, good for them, good for the world, keeps them out of trouble, and the world is not impacted badly. V'la tzadikim, but a disconnect among tzaddikim, rala and virala olam, so much good is lost out for them and lost out for the world if they can't unite. Kinus, togetherness, gathering, lorishoyim is rala and virala olam, is bad for them, bad for the world, because they're going to gather and plot. For la tzaddikim anole and vanole olam, gathering for tzaddikim, good for them, good for the world. Sheket lo rishayim, quiet, calmness for rishayim, ra'lem v'ra'la olam, bad for them, bad for the world, la tzadikim, but if it's calm for tzadikim, hano elohen v'hano li olam, good for them, good for the world, because so much can be done. Let's move on to today's daf. The Gemara says, Tanya Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, because he ate a certain amount of meat and drank a certain amount of wine, Amra Torah Yetzel Levizdin Lisokel, he's going to get killed. Elahigia Torah Lisoftaito Shaven Soriru Mora, the Torah knows where this is going. Shasof Migmar Nichse Oviv, the end will be that his father's assets will be depleted. Umevakesh limudo, and he needs what he's accustomed to, ve'ena motzei, and he can't achieve it. V'yotze l'parashas derachim u'malastem es habrios, and he's going to go out in the world and trick people because he needs to maintain his standard of living. Amra Torah yomuzakav ayomuzchayev, the Torah says he should receive the capital punishment while he's still a righteous person, then let him go and become wicked. Now, as we mentioned, it's not accepted that this was imposed regularly or even irregularly, but it's a concept. A person who does something wrong and develops a need for that standard is at risk, is in a dangerous place, because they need to maintain that standard. And we don't know, all bets are off, where this is going to go. This is an important lesson generally in life, to pay attention to what our standard of living is and to make a distinction in our minds between needs and wants. What things are considered luxuries and I could do without? Might even be smart to sometimes wean ourselves off of something for a short period of time so that we recognize that we could still survive without that thing. But to appreciate, that's why we sometimes make comparisons and realize that there are other societies and cultures that manage without. They might manage without as much meat as we have in our diet. They might manage without air conditioning. They might manage whatever the item is, to be aware of that, because if a person ever got lowered in their affluence, in their wherewithal, all should not be lost. It shouldn't be that we're so stuck in our things that we can't adapt to current situations. Skipping down to the next Mishnah, which is the last of the small lines, Hababa Machteres Nidin Hashem Sofo, the expression similar to Ben Sora Rumora, that is being judged on where this is going. So the person who tunnels into a house as a thief, also the Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim says, can be killed by the homeowner in self-defense, even though we did not yet see him jump forward to kill the homeowner, but we have a concern which is so significant that there's an assumption here that the homeowner is expected to protect his assets, and the thief who's going in is assumed to be ready to kill or be killed if he's confronted. One obviously has to know when to apply this concept, but that's the concept. The concept is that even though he has not yet pulled out the knife, not yet pulled out the gun, but if the setting is such that we know he's here on a kill or be killed mission, even if it was stated as theft, but we know the score, then the person is already allowed to act in self-defense, al shem sofo, as the Talmud describes it, because we know where this is going. The Mishnah tells us that there's an interesting ramification of this rule, since he is in effect vulnerable to a death penalty of sorts. So Hayababa Machteres Vishibir Esachavis, if he breaks a barrel while he's in this situation of kill or be killed, Im Yeshlo Damim Chayiv, if killing him would be an offense, because the homeowner knows good and well that this person would not kill him, so then he's not allowed to kill him, and therefore this thief is going to be obligated to pay for anything he breaks. Im ein lo damim, but if he does not have blood, meaning he is a thief that is vulnerable to the homeowner killing him, because we know where this is going. Homeowner's life is at risk. Thief is therefore susceptible to a death penalty of sorts. Potter, he is going to be absolved of obligation for payment for things that he breaks as he's tunneling in. And the reason is a principle that we've encountered called kam le'bidraba minei. He gets the more severe punishment, which is potentially a death penalty, rather than having to pay the money for the items that he broke. We only get him on the more severe punishment. And even though he didn't actually get killed for what he did, but he was susceptible to being killed, and that's enough to absolve him. Let's skip three lines, towards the beginning of a line. Amar Rav, Rav said, Hababa machteres, follow the logic here. A person who went in tunneling, v'not al kelim, and he stole items, v'yotza, he got out alive. Potter, he does not have to return those items that he stole. Interesting development over here. My time a why? B'damim kaninu, through his blood, he acquired them, meaning the fact that he's susceptible to a potential death penalty means he's absolved of paying. And Rav said this din, not only like the Mishnah said it, if I broke the item, but Rav seems to have said the idea, even if the item got out okay, and I guess is still intact. Amar Rava, Rava said, Mistavra Mosi de Rav, we understand the statement of Rav, Bishashiver, because the item's broken now. The Lesnuhu, it doesn't exist. Aval Notal, lo. But if he took it, and it still exists, as Rashi says, it's a pikadon. It's the owner's item sitting in the thief's house. Return it. If it still exists intact, that's not called payment, that we can't get you because there's blood over here. That's returning the item intact. Says Rava, the item should be returned. It's not entirely clear what Rav meant, but Rava says, I only understand Rav's statement if it's broken. Then we're looking to do collections, but otherwise you have to return it. Nevertheless, we see a remarkable thing five lines up from the bottom. Rava, this same Rava, who interpreted Rav to mean when it's broken, ignivulei dichri b'machtarta, he had items stolen from him through someone tunneling into his house, adrinu nele, and then they wanted to return it, they wanted to do tshuva, v'lo kiblinu, he wouldn't accept it. He says, you're not obligated to return it. Even though he did not understand the law to be like that, Omar, but he explained his benevolent behavior, if you will. However, nofak mipume de Rav. Rav said those words that the thief is absolved in such a case. So on himself, he observed the words of Rav as they were said, even though he personally did not interpret this law in that way. Yasher Koach, thank you for joining.